We're on Star Trek this morning. Or Star Trekking. Star Trekking even. Last week we had the Transformers, and the week before that was Taken. Who knows where it'll be next week? You don't know, don't you know? But it's amazing, isn't it? Did you hear them? You are a child of both worlds. Tremendous messages in that movie. You're a child of both worlds. That you have the capacity to choose your own destiny. Or here's what. Which path will you choose? You have the capacity to choose your own destiny. But which path will you choose? Like Sharon says to me at the first when they opened up with the car there. She says, is this Star Trek? Not like the Star Trek we know. Not right, right, Sharon? Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission is to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone. What was that song that was out in the 80s? On the Starship Enterprise, on the Captain Kirk. Don't stop. Oh, Klingons on the stomach bus, stomach bus. Hey, it was a good song. I think that came out in 1990. Is that right? Spanish holiday song. That's right. Star Trekking. What is the idea of Star Trekking? Of going on a voyage, going on a journey. The thought this morning is that I want to tell you is that God has us on a journey. He has us on life's journey. On the journey that He wants us to walk upon. And He puts signs in our path to let us know which way we want to go. Or we should go. If you want to turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. I'm going to read you a story about some Star Trekkers. It's normally read at Christmas. But I think some of the reasons and some of the principles in it may get lost just around Christmas because we're focused on other things. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and came to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and so was all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Christ to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared in the sky. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where Jesus the child was being born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We know them as the three wise men. Although it never says how many there is. There was three gifts, but it doesn't say how many men. It says that they came from the east. It says that they followed the star. They reckon they came from Persia, around that area. In their day, studying the stars, astronomy, was a science. And they, when they seen the star, they reckoned that the God of the heavens, the one true God, wanted to tell them something. And somehow by them spotting this star, it was translated, communicated to them that the King of the Jews was going to be born in Bethlehem. Or was going to be born where the star stopped. It's amazing they went to Herod, who was a false king or an earthly king, asking where the heavenly king was going to be born. What king wouldn't be disturbed to think that the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel, is going to be raised up? Herod was in one sense, political wise, he was a good king because he kept peace in Jerusalem or in Israel. But he was also a nasty piece of work who had his own kids killed at one stage because of his own paranoia and his wife. So be careful. It's amazing they came looking for where the King of the Jews was being born. And you remember when Jesus died, what they put over his cross? The King of the Jews. The same Herod that tried to kill him when he was a baby. The wise man followed the star from, it says, some, one of the commentators says, it could have taken him 2 years to get to that destination. That's pretty determined people, isn't it? That's someone who's not given up. Some tried to explain it away, saying it was like a collection of stars that appeared or an exploding star. Some say that was a convergence of planets. But one commentator even went on to say that maybe it was an angel in the sky. Whatever it was, these men understood that if we follow this star, if we go star trekking, we will reach somewhere that we've never reached before. That we will boldly go where these men have never ever gone before. That if we trust in the one who put that star there, that we will get to our destination. But they had a choice. Will they follow the star or will they not? They had to make a choice to choose their destiny. Will we go this way or will we say it's just some phenomenon in the sky? I don't know whether you've ever been in a pitch dark place, like up in the mountains. But we don't really see the stars in the city. Too many lights. Too much smog. If you go out into the countryside, you see stars that are incredible. A year ago or so, I was in Arkansas in America. I was staying in the countryside, up on a hill in a cottage. All by myself, I was terrified in the night time. Slept with a meat cleaver beside me. I'm from the flats, we don't do country. And I prayed. But anyway, I had to go to the airport really early in the morning. So I got up about 3:30 in the morning, got into the car I was driving about 4:10 a.m., walks out, put my luggage into the car. I looks up, and I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this in my life. There was a billion stars absolutely gleaming out of the blackness of the sky. I kid you not, I stood there, it was probably seconds, but it seemed minutes, going around and around, looking up, saying, oh my God, you are amazing, Lord. They were so bright, I felt I could reach up and touch them. That's how near I felt they were to me. Incredible. Incredible star. Incredible galaxy. And these men, out of all of the stars that they studied, there was one brighter. There was one with a greater shine. There was one that meant more to them than all of the other billions of stars together. And he says, we're going to make a choice. We're going to go star trekking. The options are we going to follow the path that God has set out? Or are we going to follow our own path? And the same choice is to every man that will ever walk and has ever walked on this planet. Are you going to follow God's star? Or are you going to follow your own star? Because believe me, you're following some star. We might not call it star, but some follow rock stars. Some follow pop stars. Look at the carry-on of the last couple of weeks with Michael Jackson dying. People killing themselves. Committing suicide. Because the pop star was killed. That was his sister saying that, not me. Or died. Or a star snuffed out. Some are following football stars, movie stars. All types of stars that we will follow. You'll follow the money star. You will follow the power star. You will follow the addiction star. You will follow some star. Believe me, you're following the star. Someone says this, that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. Someone else says a journey of 1,000 miles starts when you get a puncture on your car and you didn't get the spare one fixed. The journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. Could they trust this sign? Where was the sign going? Where would the star lead them? Who would be at the end of the star? Where would they end up in the world? Who would they meet along the way? Who would they meet on their journey? Who would be at the end of their journey of star trekking? This is not as crazy as it seems. Do you ever, my sister's crazy into this stuff. What does your star say in the paper? You're following something. Some Yahoo up in an office right now stuff. Somebody, people live their lives by these things. Magazines, papers, psychics, people leading them down garden paths. You're following some star, but I'm going to give you an opportunity today to choose. I want to follow the bright and morning star, which Jesus is called in the scriptures. I don't want to just follow any star. Who starts us on this journey? God. Who's at the end of this journey? God. Who's with us all the way through this journey? God. The Bible says that He's the Alpha and the Omega. He starts us on this journey. The Bible says the Alpha and Omega means the first and the last. God starts you. So you think you ended up here because your friend brought you? You think you started thinking of God months ago because someone on the telly spoke? Or an accident came into your life? Or an addiction came into your life. Or you met someone at a funeral. Or you met someone at a wedding. Or you met someone on the street that you'd never seen in years. You think it's an accident. No, God started it. God started it in you. He started you thinking, an advert in the newspaper in Australia. How do I feel? You think someone, you read it by mistake. No way. You think someone came into your job that was a Christian to tell you about Jesus by mistake? No way. The Alpha, the one who was at the start of the journey, is the one who started it. And he also says that he's at the end of the journey. He's there to start you off in the race. Go on, honey, you can win the race. And then he's up here saying, yeah, come on, come on, come on. And not only that, he's in the middle saying, you need some water? Here, get filled up. Because he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I will never let you go, even to the end of the age. You're thinking to yourself, you know what, it's taken me an age to get to where Jesus wants me. That's all right. He says, I will be with you to the end of the age. It's taken me ages. He's there. He's there. He's here. And he's here. Here's a Philip. He's amazing. That's why it says in Philippians 1:6, that he who began the good work is faithful and will carry it out. Even if he has to carry you out to completion. He who started it in you. You tried to throw it away, the promises of God. Too late, he started it in you. The devil has come to try to steal it. Tell him it's too late. It's already started. And if it takes an age, I'm going to get there. And when I get there, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. When I get there, I want him to say, that's my son. That's my daughter. When the dark times come, when the clouds come in and the storms come, he's there. When the enemy comes in to try to take you off track, he's there. We start looking to the other stars. Maybe the stars will tell me. Get me the Daily Mirror. Get me Mystic Meg. Get me the doctor, the psychiatrist. Get me the priest, the nuns. Get me the pastor. We looked at every other star and the bright and morning star saying, I'm with you. Look to me. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author, the one who starts writing it, and the one who puts the D end in the end of it. It says, fix your eyes on him. Through the storms, fix your eyes on him. Through the battle, fix your eyes on him. When you don't know who you are, know who he is. Amen. Amazing. He says, I'll start, but I'll finish it. Just keep looking to me. Just keep fixing your eyes on me. Just keep looking towards me. I'm convinced of this. There's people freaked out about the will of God. Oh, am I in the will of God? Am I not? Fix your eyes on Jesus. And I tell you, it's impossible to miss the will of God. I think it's impossible. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, I don't know where I'm going. That's all right. He says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. Amen. Even in the dark nights, he is there. Remember, it's always darkness before the dawn. And he's there in the darkness, and he's there at the dawn. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn. So if you're going to rob the milk from the neighbor's house, that's the time to do it. I'm just joking. And it's darkness just before the dawn. He started your journey. Not only does he start the journey, and he's with you through the journey, and he's there at the end of the journey, but in all your star trekking, he gives you compasses. He gives you a few tools. And the first tool he gives you is his word. You want to know what God has to say? He's already written it for you. He said, I'm giving you a compass. Every week, I won't let a week go by without saying some of this stuff to you. Read your word. Get a Bible. What are you saying? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Find out what Jesus said. Find out what the red letters say. Jesus, what did you say? And when you hear him say something and it applies to your life, if you act on it, you will see the miracles of God. You will see the miracles of God. Now, if you don't understand, ask someone else in the church that's a bit longer reading the word than you. He's given us the word to find out where we're going. Because the scribes came to Herod, and Herod says, I know how to find out about this Jesus, although he didn't know his name. He says, get the law, the priests and the teachers of the law, and what did they read? The Old Testament. They read the old scribes, and he said, find out what God said about this Jesus. So they looked, and he said it was a prophet who prophesied that he'd be born where the star was going to come. You want to know what he's saying about Jesus? It's in this. Don't believe everything that I say if it's not in this. Don't just take the words of a man. Find out for yourself, what's God the Father saying about his son? What is he saying about the Holy Spirit? Don't be led down by just someone. You know, we all think about movie stars and rock stars and whatever. And in Christian circles, we have our own stars, haven't we? Oh, well, if such and such says it, has to be true. Balderdash. When this says it, it's true. No matter what spin, what anyone else puts on it, if it's not there, no matter what shaking, miracles, anything you see, if it's not in that, there, let them be a liar and God be true. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Everything that glitters is not gold. He's also given us another part of the compass. He says, I will give you my Holy Spirit. He will come and live in you. When you give your life to Jesus, this is what happens. God's Spirit comes and makes your spirit alive. And his Spirit dwells with your spirit. And that's powerful. And it still rocks me when I think that a holy God who can't look at sin can come into this temple and live inside of me and bring his peace and bring heaven, because I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I've accepted that what he done on the cross is sufficient for my forgiveness. And he says about the Holy Spirit, he will lead you. He will guide you. I'm going to send you another, and he will lead you into all truth. He says, look, I've given you my word. I'm giving you my spirit. I've given you men in your life who to listen to. Women into your life who to listen to. Leadership into your life who to listen to. When I tell you that who you listen to will determine where you're going to go. Who you listen to. Herod says, hey, come here. When you find out, come back to me. If they would have come back to him, Herod was going to do the chop on Jesus. He was going to slaughter Jesus. Who you listen to will determine where you will end up. Be careful who you listen to. Your mind is your own business. So mind your own business. Let someone speak in that you know is doing everything to live before God, wants to be right before God. Don't just listen to man's philosophies and ideas and ideologies. Don't just listen to intellectualism alone. The things of God are not just in them realms. They're in the spirit realm. And look for those who are living before God or are doing everything they can to live before God, because in the end, that's who God is going to honor. He's given us leadership, right of voice. So he's given us the compass. What happened when they found him? They went and they found him. And what they done when they found him, they bowed down and they worshipped Jesus. They bowed down, and it says, and they worshipped him. Listen, I've never said this once in all my life as a Christian. But look who was in that stable. The only one that was worshipped was Jesus. The only one that was worshipped was Jesus. It wasn't his mom, it wasn't his dad, it wasn't a sacred cow, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. And they bowed down and they worshipped him alone. And they gave no homage to anything or anyone else in that room. They bowed down. Somehow these wise men bowed and says, this is a king that is greater than any other king. And he's a baby right now. But they bowed down and they worshipped him. They fixed their eyes not now on the star that was up in the sky, but the star that was in the manger. They says, look, that's bright, but look at him. If you think that star is great, when you see the one that's in the manger. And they fixed their eyes upon him who was going to be the author and finisher of faith. The brightest star of heaven, heaven's darling, was in the manger. And they worshipped him. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshipping what's right with God. Do you know what? I made a decision years ago. And here's the best advice I can give you. No matter when I sin, no matter when I fail God, no matter how heavy condemnation feels in my life, no matter how far I might feel God is at times away, do you know what? I made a decision. I will never be robbed of my relationship with God. When I feel rotten, I say, rotten, you're not robbing me of talking to God. When I fail God, failure, you're not robbing me. Because I will not belittle what he done on the cross for me or you. And what he done is, no matter what state we are, we can go into the presence of God. When I sin, and you know when your flesh is like, don't believe them. Look, how can you be a good Christian after failure? You know what I say? Drag the flesh in. Drag the flesh into the presence of God. I don't care how I feel, what I'm thinking, what's going on, what I've done, what I didn't do. Get in there. And worship God. I'm telling you, if you take that advice, if none you ever hear in here, if you've given your life to Jesus, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because we all fall and we all still sin and we all still mess up and we all still get it wrong. But see, I'm not going to let that rob me of my relationship. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because when it all boils down, that's all we really have. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not knowing him. This building be gone, but not knowing him. This ministry be gone, but not knowing him. When everything is done and said, and everything is said and done, there's a lot more said than done. Amen? Whatever that means. And he came before Jesus. He came before Jesus and he brought their gifts. How wise were these men? My goodness. He said, here, Jesus, you can have the best. I'm giving you gifts that is fit for the king. You know, Sharon's having a baby soon over there. Like, when we go and see her little baby, who she's going to call a Noel, by the way. You know, we'll bring baby gifts, won't we? You know, Jesus, here's some nappies, and Mary, there's some, you know, like SMA and stuff. But they brought Jesus things that were fit for the king. Gold spoke of speaks of power and wealth. He said, here, Jesus, you can have all of our power. You can have all of our wealth. I lay it at your feet. He brought frankincense, incense. He says, Lord, we're giving you everything, because when we need anything, we're going to bring before you in prayer. Not only did he bring them things that spoke of life, but he also brought myrrh, which was a bit of a weird gift to bring for a baby, because myrrh was only associated with death. Myrrh was only around balm and dead bodies, which was used when Jesus actually died. Bit of a weird thing. But it spoke about Jesus' kingship and about his priestly anointing and his death and resurrection. It also spoke about for us, like, that when we bring these things to God, these gifts, the things that are in our life that we hate, the dead things, that we bring them before Him, because unless there's death, there's no resurrection. So we bring the things in with the mire and all the smell of mire on it and say, here we go, Jesus, I'm laying it before you. That thing that is dead in me, that brings death, that brings destruction into my life, I'm bringing it before you. And then his responsibility is to bring it to resurrection time. They brought their gifts. They brought everything they had. What wise men these were. It says in Proverbs 18, it says that your gift will make room for you. See, when someone wanted to go through a new door with a king, they sent gifts ahead of them. And the king says, I'll open doors for you. The king says, you will come right into my court. I will tell you the secrets of what I have planned for my kingdom. Send your gift ahead of you. Lay all your gifts down, guys. Put them all before the king. You might be like me. You might be a one talented person. Give him your one talent. Give him the one thing that you say, Lord, this is all I think I can do right now. And allow him to multiply it. Finishing up. And all the star trekking. And all of the following the star. And all of them getting to this place. They meet Jesus. They do the right thing. They bow down and worship him. They come before the king and they say, here's all of our gifts. We brought this before you. King, open new doors for us. They have a dream. And the dream in the dream, they are warned, don't go back the way you came because Herod is waiting. When they met Jesus, they never were the same again. They never went the old pathway again. They never went down the old roads. When you meet Jesus, listen, he doesn't take you and say, oh, look, I'm going to make a better you. I'm going to make a new you. I'm going to take the old path you walked on and I'm going to give you the new narrow road that you can walk on. I'm going to take you from the old destructive mode and I'm going to bring you into a place that is flourishing, that it's green with pasture. I'm going to take you. This is His promise to us. And I believe so many of us are living so below the line that Jesus has accomplished for us. And our fight as people in this church, that's what we're saying about these gates. We don't want to live, or you to live, or sell for crumbs when we know the King has a feast for each one of us. Amen. Someone's getting there. They said, look, don't go back stair trekking that way. I want you to go this way. I want you to go this way. I'm going to want you to go this way. Take a choice. Which path will you walk on? Go back to old Herod. I'll tell you what he has for you. He's going to torture you. He's going to want to find out where the king is. He's going to want to find out where that manger is, where the inn is. He's going to come because we know what he done when he went the other way. He unleashed hell against them and every kid was killed. Every young boy under the age of one or two was killed. Because he said, if I wipe out all of them, I might get the Messiah in the midst of it. But God had already told him to go somewhere else. Listen, what's on that path for you? What's on the path for you? Is it destruction? Is there a Herod? Is there deception? Is there addiction? Is there pain? You know what? And guys, hear my heart when I say this. I'm amazed, and I understand lots of it. But I'm amazed how many times we go back to Herod when Jesus is standing over here. I'm amazed. We go back to be beaten up again by the same people when Jesus is here. We go back the same pathways that we know is going to bring destruction into our lives and our family. And Jesus is standing here saying, take this path. I'm amazed. One of my neighbors, I can understand it. Believe me. She was beaten to a pulp by her husband because she didn't have cigarettes for him. I remember I was 7 or 8. I remember seeing her in the flats, always beaten up. I wish I was 17 or something. Because I would have been able to stand up for her. She hung around my sister. She had brothers who always went and fought for her. But she always went back to Herod. I could never understand that as a kid. Run! Get away! But her spirit was so broken that that's all she knew. So I'll go back and get another beating. I'll go back and get put down again. I'll go back out and live with the shame of walking amongst my neighbors. And guys, we're like that. Oh, we can't be like that. Jesus is saying, don't do that. I've told you my word not to do it, but yet we keep doing it. And here it is. He promises, not me, that if we come to him, we can have life in all its fullness. He promises that he'll bring us on the journey, that he's with us at the beginning, and he'll be with us all through it, and he'll be there to celebrate the completion. See, some of us can be like, Chris, the world is like this. Christopher Columbus gets into the boat with all the men. Where are we going? Don't know. How long will it take us to get there? I don't know. What will it be like when we get there? I don't know. I don't know. So we're just going to get tossed by the waves. It's not a way to live when God has a star. God has his word. God has his Holy Spirit. God has people in your lives to lead you and direct you. I'm not going to be someone that's just tossed and torn. I want to be someone who's a follower. There was a man, a monk, was walking up a road. He'd been in a monastery in the medieval times where no one knew where they were going, what they were doing. The church hid away. Reading church history, they hid away. They had enough of the world. They're all sinners. They're all broken people. Let's build monasteries. And let's always stay before God and let them go to hell. What an indictment against the church, church history is. But this monk was walking out one day and a soldier said to him, halt! Who are you and where are you going? And the monk went up to him and says, I'll pay you double your wages if you come back to our monastery and ask us every morning, stop! Who are you and where are you going? Stop! Stop running around. Stop running around like a headless chicken following this star, that star. No wonder we're all going crazy. Stop. Just stop. Who are you? Are you saying you're someone that has no worth? That no one cares about? No one loves? Who told you that? Are you saying there's no plan or purpose for my life? Who told you that? Who dared tell you that? And where are you going? Because all I can tell you this, 20 years ago, I bowed the knee at this Jesus and says, Jesus, forgive me and come into my life. And it's been the best track I've ever been on. I couldn't have bought this life. I couldn't have paid billions for the peace of God that's in my heart. Don't get me wrong, I get knocked down, but I get up again. And you will get knocked down, because that's him with us. Oh, son, you're down. Yes, Lord. Well, here, come on, I'll help you back up. Let's keep walking, because I started it, and I will keep you, and I will finish you. Let's go start trekking. Listen, guys, this church is going to go where no man has boldly gone before. And the invitation is this, will you come with us? Will you give your gifts to the King? Will you lay it all down for him? For him. Not for me, for him. I'll do everything unto God. Let's pray.